And welcome back. Sex and the teenage years is an important and delicate topic. Kids can become sexually inquisitive at a very young age. At some point, the talk, the birds and the bees talk, will come up. Communication plays a critical role, and its effectiveness may prevent high-risk sexual behavior and a life-altering mistake. Joining me in studio, Allison Heil, Executive Director of Teen Pregnancy and Prevention Partnership. It promotes teen pregnancy prevention and adolescent sexual health. Also with us, playwright-performer Tim Collins, who will bring his one-man presentation, The Big Talks, to St. Louis next month. Thank you both for being with us. Nice to see you.
Thanks. Thank you, Don.
Thanks.
Allison, let me begin with you. And can you give me kind of a quick overview on the teenage pregnancy sexually transmitted disease situation here?
Oh, how about if we say instead of birds and bees, we have kids now dealing with hawks and hornets.
Uh-huh.
It's much different than it was when you and I were growing up, Don. The kids have a lot more issues to deal with. They have access to the internet. They have videos and TV shows and music videos that are really, really things that we didn't see when we were growing up. And so now we have concerns about things like, oh, chlamydia in St. Louis. And we're going to have a whole generation of people worrying about sterility because they got chlamydia and didn't have any symptoms of it, male or female.
Well, can the talk about the hawks and the hornets change anything?
Oh, we think so. Actually, what we have found out is that while teen pregnancy rates have gone down over the last 10 years, what has not gone down is the number of teenagers who are actually having sex. The reason that we still have the same number of kids having sex but teen pregnancies have gone down is because they've gotten better information.
And that information, I suspect, comes from the parents, or am I making a wrong assumption there?
You are making a correct assumption in some of the cases and not in others. Many parents are very comfortable, very open with their kids, start talking about body parts from the time they're changing diapers. Other parents are pretty uncomfortable with the topic and don't talk about it at all. So we're hoping that kids are finding good websites to go to as opposed to questionable ones to go to.
Well, what's the first piece of advice you would give a parent with regard to this this conversation? To start it early when you're changing diapers?
Absolutely. Yeah. You remember that little song, Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes? Well, I would include a few other body parts in that. And you know what? No infant is going to look at you and go, like a teenager will. So if you can start talking about correct anatomy when you're changing diapers, then you have opened the door to a comfortable conversation with your child later.
And when would that later be? Is there a particular time frame that you think we should get a little more specific?
Well, I think that's an ongoing conversation. I think we should start talking to very small children about not bullying. I think we should start talking to very small children about lots of kids are different than you. And I think we should start talking to kids about relationships and then as they're getting older and being safe and what are the values in our family? Because they're a little different in each family and each family gets the opportunity to share their values with their own children.
Or you can go to a one-man presentation and listen to Tim Collins do his thing. And how helpful will that be?
Oh, it's April 18th at the Ethical Society, and it starts at 7 o'clock. And Tim is just a phenomenal playwright, and he makes the topic so easy for people to listen to. It'll be a great way to start conversations between parents and teenagers that night.
We have information on that April 18th performance on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Tim, tell me something about your program. Is it geared toward parents or toward the youngsters or both?
Both. I think that my training as someone who is wildly uncomfortable about talking about this topic served me well in creating the show. And the show portrays a family sort of in the midst of struggling with how to talk about this issue. The two parents, Michael and Carol, are really at their wit's end. And they are uncomfortable with having these conversations and sitting down with their teenage and preteen son and really getting into the issues. However, because in the course of the play, the parents realize that they have to bring up these issues, it's gotten to sort of a critical stage. Their youngest son has gone online and looked up some questionable websites with friends, and the older son is heavily involved in a relationship and no longer talks to the parents because when the kids were younger, they made several what I would imagine to be pretty common mistakes for parents of shutting down conversations early and often, as opposed to being available, as Allison was saying earlier, whenever those conversations come up.
You have a series of different scenarios, of vignettes, I guess, is the way it's structured, right?
Yes, sort of scenes where the parents struggle to learn how to have these conversations. And while these kids aren't, they're way well beyond diaper changes, it's never too late, as Allison has pointed out to me, it's never too late to have these conversations with your kids, whether they're 5 or 15.
What specific subjects do you deal with?
Well, specifically, what happens when a kid, and this is cutting edge stuff in terms of what kids have to are confronted with and deal with. What do you say to a kid who has gone online in a casual Google search and found material that he or she has found questionable or even shocking? How do you start that conversation? If the kid was introduced to images and concepts that he or she had never even brought up before or thought about before, then how do you have that conversation with that kid? What do you say? How do you begin that process?
Well, you've brought a part of your presentation with you, have you not?
That's
just
right.
Dealing just with this.
Yes. This character, Michael, is the father, and he is struggling significantly with how to have a conversation with his son about, the relationship he's in. He's a 15-year-old boy. There's two sons. Connor's 15, Tyler's 10. And Connor's in the midst of a relationship. And like I said, the parents are cut off from their kids. They don't really have any kind of active conversation. And they're concerned about what he's up to.
Do you want to do that for us now?
Sure, I'd love to.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Great. So this is Michael. When Connor was 5, he came home from kindergarten one day and asked me, "A boy in my class says he knows what sex is. What is that? What is sex?" I looked at him and said, "It's a kind of sports car." I'm driving him to school one day, and this is when he was about 12. Connor says, "Dad, my friend Alan says he knows this girl who goes all the way. Everyone knows what first and second base are. I'm not really sure what third base is, but fourth base, everyone knows what that is. Is that the same as going all the way to fourth base?" And I said, "Well, you're pretty much, you've got two analogies going there. You got a baseball analogy and a travel analogy. Connor, when two people, this is really for older kids to be talking about, older adults, old people. I don't know if you really need to be talking to kids like Andrew. Alan, you're too young. You should be focusing on school. Big year ahead of you, right? So okay, buddy, I got to get to work, okay? Hey, make sure you shut the door tight on your way out." Carol and I have always favored a policy of containment. Don't say too much too soon. Perhaps we've overdone it. But those conversations can be really awkward, uncomfortable, for the kids. But now, Connor, he's a teenager. He's got a girlfriend, Samantha, who we hardly know. Last Sunday, we're in the car, Connor's driving lesson, I'm driving, he's not ready yet. We're quiet for a while. I say, "So buddy, how's it going with you and Samantha?" And Connor, he said, nothing. He didn't say anything. We get back home. I say, "Connor, look, dating your age can be pretty complicated, so let me know if you have any questions." Connor, he just stares at me. He gets out of the car, and when he did, he made really certain that door was shut. Carol suggests I'm having a nervous breakdown. I am. I'm the parent of a teen and tween in 2013. So yes, that is the definition of nervous breakdown. Someday, parenting will become obsolete. Not obsolete, it'll just become an app. Children will get their meals and allowances from the humans formerly known as mom and dad, and then turn to the TV and iPhones for nurturing and guidance. Every day, they're going to have more hours with the TV and the internet than they will with us. Everything out there will be telling them about the world and sex without any sort of filter or protection. Tyler, my youngest son, he went with his friends wandering on the internet last week, but that can happen any day, at school, at here. How do you protect a kid? How do you protect a kid from the world?
All right. I'm going to ask Allison to get your analysis of what you've just heard here in terms of the approach that has been taken.
Well, I think it's a pretty common approach, Don. What Tim has done, it has encapsulated what many, many parents who are very caring, loving parents do. And that is try to protect their children by just not talking about sexuality. The Teen Pregnancy and Prevention Partnership is trying to encourage parents to be wonderful sexuality educators because their kids are facing things that we didn't. And what we're going to do with this performance on April 18th is not only have Tim's 45-minute show, but we'll also have a facilitated discussion afterwards.
I want to get some sense of how a parent would determine what is age appropriate. I mean, you talked about from the time you're doing the diaper duty all the way up through the teenage years. How do you determine how far you should go in explaining things to kids?
Well, one of the things that parents can do is look at the newly released National Sexuality Education Standards. And what those standards say is what's appropriate for children to know in second grade, in fifth grade, in eighth grade, and 12th grade. You can Google National Sexuality Education Standards. Teen Pregnancy Prevention Partnership is also providing trainings on the seven topic areas of the National Sexuality Education Standards for parents and for professionals so that people know what is appropriate at each of those ages.
You know, one of the things that I've always heard when kids are asking questions is answer the question, but don't go beyond the question that was asked. How does this apply in dealing with topics such as these?
Well, oftentimes what parents will get is a test question. Hey, my friend did such and such with his girlfriend. And what the kid is doing is really trying to see your reaction as opposed to trying to get information. And so if a parent will pass these test questions, in other words, if a parent will answer them as opposed to saying, we don't talk about that in our family, then the child knows that that parent is approachable, is askable, and they can come to them when the real questions come up for them.
I want to open our phone lines. We have some time left, and I'm sure there are people in the audience who have questions about this particular subject, having that talk with your kids. 382-8255 is our number. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Send us a tweet at STL on air or reach us through Facebook. Have you had that conversation yet with your kids? Do you fear it? Give us your input on this. Tim, back to you. How did this whole thing about this one-man presentation come about?
So I've been writing and creating one-man shows for about 10 to 12 years. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I've been creating a series of educational one-man shows. The first was about dating violence and sexual assault prevention. Another was about bullying prevention. And it's a series of shows that are for high school, college kids, various ages, to talk about an issue in a one-man theatrical presentation. To talk about issues that might go under the radar or might not be directly addressed or might be talked about in a way that wouldn't be as engaging as a piece of theater is. Allison and I met at a performance, and we worked together on a couple of projects and brainstormed, and Allison came up with the idea of creating a show about parents talking to their kids about sex. And it's never an issue that I had ever thought about creating a piece of theater about, because the issue, like I had said earlier, it's something I felt quite a bit of apprehension and discomfort about. I don't have kids. I have a niece and nephew, and of course I'm very concerned about the talk that they'll be receiving and maybe already have received. So it seemed really exciting. Like, this is something I'd never heard of in terms of a topic for theater, and it seems like it's a vital conversation that every parent has to have with their kids, hopefully. And to bring it to this sort of discussion point in live theater is really exciting.
Do you remember your talk?
Not to malign my parents, but it was something in the range of 2 to 3 minutes, and it was secondhand. I actually got it from my brother after he got it from my father, and it was some mangled thing over a pool game, and not very informative.
How about you, Allison?
Did I get a talk?
Do you remember the talk?
Oh, I clearly do. I had all sorts of information about how a sperm and an egg would meet. I got information about menstruation, but there was no clear information about how that sperm got to the egg. And so I had books laid out for me. But I did know, my parents tried, I did know that I could go to them with questions, and that was the most important piece of information I got from them.
When I was growing up, the whole idea was to give the child a book of some sort. And you're on your own, kid. read what you can and digest what you can and talk to you later. Except the talk never really happened. Should it be rehearsed? Should parents rehearse what they're... You're nodding, Tim.
Well, actually, there's a segment in the play where the characters, the mother and father, very much sit down and try to rehearse what they're going to say to their kids. And they botch it many, many, many times before they actually sort of get an outline of what they want to say. And working with Allison, she demonstrated many sort of possible ways you could begin the conversation. It doesn't have to be just a sit down and let's have this heavy talk. Instead, Allison's mentioned you might pick up the conversation while you're watching television with your kid.
Or riding in a car or over a dinner table conversation about something that happened to someone's friend. It's not one talk. It's a series of talks. That's why I said, Tim, give me an S. I want the big talks, plural, and not just the big talk.
Right.
And I suppose the whole idea is not to make it sound like the talk, but just make it as much of a part of the ongoing conversation. Very natural.
Don, you're spot on with that, because it is so miserably uncomfortable for both the parents and the youth if there is just one uncomfortable conversation.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. We have a number of people, not surprisingly, want to talk. Lex in St. Louis, go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Were you calling? Okay. I haven't had a talk with a kid about this because I don't have a kid. But my parents, I know they had conversations with me about it. I just can't remember the specific conversations. It was more along the lines of if I asked a specific question and I got an answer and I could keep going as long as the question wasn't why or how. And I don't really remember the conversation, but I do know as I got older, I was more informed than some of the kids in my class, like grade school and in middle school and in high school. And at one point, I asked my parents for a book. I was about 7 or 8, and it was really informative. It had, like, what happened to me as a girl when I went through puberty, what happened to boys, contraceptives, you know, how babies are actually made, and STDs. So, you know, by the time I was in high school, I knew what an STD was. And I didn't want to just, like, go fool around with just anybody because I didn't know what they had or anything like that. So, you know, the conversation with my parents never happened as a single talk. And I never remember it being awkward.
Lex, thanks so much for the call. Allison, she just made your point.
Absolutely, Lex. It sounds like your parents did a great job. And there are many, many wonderful books out there that are for children of all different ages. There's books for little kids called Where Did I Come From? There's a book for older kids called It's So Amazing, a book about egg, sperm, birth, babies, and families. There are great websites out there that parents and children can go to together. And I'm hoping that, Don, you'll be able to put those up on your website. Or you can go to our website, teenpregnancy-mo.org, and see some of those wonderful resources for both parents and teens.
You know, within the conversation, there are other conversations. It's a difficult conversation just in very general terms. But what about some of the really tough issues within the conversation? Masturbation, oral sex, things of that kind that are really tough to talk about.
It's not our everyday dinner table conversation.
Right.
And this is why I suggest that you start talking to children when they're very young so that you don't have some of that eye rolling and sighing and door slamming at the beginning. And then it's a little easier, the relationship has established. It's important for parents to share the values in their own families. If they're not going to share them, then the media is going to do it. And most of us don't want the media doing that.
And if the subject turns to gay sex and gay people.
I think we ought to be talking about that when kids are little, not about the sex, but about the relationships. And that's why I said early on that you would teach a child not to bully, that you would teach a child that not everybody is just exactly like you, and it's important to be nice and kind to everyone.
Let's take another call. Dolores and Ledoux, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I had a similar parenting style as Lex's parents did, I suppose, and it supports what Allison said. I answered questions as they were asked, and frankly, I don't think I ever had to put the brakes on when something got too advanced. If your kids keep asking, that means they're capable of knowing, in my opinion. And I think that this is an example of showing how much my older son understood. We have 2 children. When he was 7, he asked me, Mom, did Dad put his penis in your vagina more than twice? And I thought, well, you've got the concept. So then I had to answer the question. What I told him was at the time, I said, well, yes, because God made this so it would feel good, because otherwise why in the world would you think to do that? And that seemed to take care of him as my children got older. But before I think they got into the danger zone of actually getting into sex, I introduced, again, usually in response to what something's on TV or something we heard, I introduced conversations about, STDs or premarital sex or, what is oral sex. So President Clinton with Monica Lewinsky opened that conversation for many people a lot sooner than they wanted it to. But there it was, and I think a lot of questions probably had to get answered at that time.
Dolores, thank you so much for the call. She raises an excellent point about you can use the news to be kind of an avenue, an entree to a conversation.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You sure can. And it sounds like Dolores did an absolutely beautiful job of talking to her kids.
I think we have time for one more call. We'll try to squeeze in Cicely, but it'll have to be fast. Cicely, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm Cicely. I am the Education and Diversity Program Coordinator for Planned Parenthood, and I just wanted to speak really briefly. This has been a really great show, and Planned Parenthood actually has a program that really speaks to all of the issues that Allison and Tim and all of the callers have been talking about today called Real Life, Real Talk. It's a program where parents come together, sort of share, exploring what their own values are around sexuality, how to keep the conversation open with their kids, so not just having that one conversation, but finding teachable moments when they're watching television, doing other activities, and really sort of exploring those values and then doing some skills building to actually kind of strategize how you can really answer those questions that young people have. So I just kind of wanted to share that information, that programs are available for parents who maybe are having a little bit more difficulty. It sounds like a lot of the parents who have called have had great successes, but for parents who are having a little bit more difficulty, and even for those who aren't, who just want to kind of bounce out the ideas off of other parents.
Cicely, thank you. Time is getting away from us, Cicely. Thank you for the call. And I'm sure there are many good programs out there. Yours being one of them, Allison.
The Teen Pregnancy and Prevention Partnership does not work directly with teens. We work with adults who do.
All righty. Okay, let's repeat once again that playwright-performer Tim Collins will bring his one-man presentation, The Big Talks, to St. Louis on Thursday, April 18th. So that will be happening at the Ethical Society on Clayton Road at 7 o'clock. Okay, we just a few seconds left. What final thought do you want to leave us with, Allison?
Well, I wanted people to know that also Tim will be performing at the Teen Pregnancy and Prevention Partnerships Conference on Friday, May 10th. That will be held in space at Kirkwood Baptist Church from 8:30 to 4, and there's information about that conference and the trainings that we do online at teenpregnancy-mo.org.
Okay. We'll put a link to your organization on ours at sdopublicradio.org. And Tim, final thought?
Just that the questions about how to have these conversations are brought up in a really fun, interesting way in the play, and I really hope people come out and see it. Talking about these issues in theater, in the form of theaters, is a really exciting way to process.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Allison Heil, Executive Director of Teen Pregnancy and Prevention Partnership. Thank you so much for being with us. And playwright-performer Tim Collins, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with your performance, on May 10th and on the 18th of April.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive. But that's another story. That's another story. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with archaeologist Mike Parker Pearson about surprising findings at Stonehenge. And we'll also have a discussion with Dr. Donald Suggs, publisher and executive editor of the St. Louis American, which is now celebrating its 85th anniversary. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.